As we give our attention now to God's Word, let's turn together to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John chapter 20 in your Bible. Have you ever thought about what you'd like on your tombstone? You ever think about that? A man by the name of Mel Blanc, who lived from 1908 to 1989, had these words inscribed on his tombstone. This is his epitaph. "That's all, folks." It was the trademark line of the famous motion picture character Porky Pig. Porky Pig. "That's all, folks." Mel Blanc provided the voice for that famous cartoon character for many years. Here's another epitaph. And I'd be surprised if you could guess whose this is. "My Jesus, mercy." That was Al Capone's epitaph. Some people write their own epitaphs. Others we're not so sure of, like the epitaph of a man named Matthew Mudd from Massachusetts. It reads, "Here lies Matthew Mudd. Death did him no hurt. When alive, he was only mud. But now he's only dirt." Matthew Mudd. Epitaphs. I like the one I heard someone recently say they hoped would be true of their life and could be honestly inscribed on their tombstone, that it could be truly said of them these three words: "All for Jesus." I like that. All for Jesus. And I pray that can be truly said of our lives, that we live all for Jesus. May it be true. For some, the epitaph on their tombstone is like their parting word to the world, their last words, their parting shot, their last words from the grave. But in the text of John 19, last week, we saw the account of the burial of the body of Jesus. And for Jesus, there would be no epitaph. No epitaph for Jesus. Today we are celebrating the fact that Jesus lives. Read most biographies, and when the end comes, the conclusion is that the person is dead and buried. But Jesus lives. For Jesus, even though his body was dead and buried, his story was not over. And it is not over. There would be no epitaph for Jesus' grave. His body was buried, yes, but Jesus was not gone. He was not finished. And he is still not finished. And because Jesus lives, we can rejoice. And we do rejoice today. So let's look at John chapter 20. We enter chapter 20 together this morning. And again, I mentioned it last week, and I'm just amazed at how the Lord's timing is perfect, because little did I know when we started looking at the Gospel of John over 2 years ago that we would arrive on this Easter Sunday at John chapter 20 and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I truly could not have planned that. God is gracious to give us these little encouragements by bringing us to this passage, this Lord's Day, this Easter Sunday. So let's read the account of the resurrection of Jesus from John's perspective. And I want you to follow along as I read John 20, verses 1 through 19, as I read from the English Standard Version. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" And so verse 3, it says, "So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. And look at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus turned and said to him, she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. On the evening of that day, says verse 19, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. They were glad. Praise God. Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. There would be no epitaph on the tomb of Jesus, but something far better than an epitaph. He arose from the dead, and on the third day, he makes an appearance, and in the passage before us, he gives something far better than final words chiseled in stone when he speaks these precious words to his mother and his disciples. Precious indeed it is to hear the words of the risen Jesus. These precious words we hear in this passage from the lips of the risen Savior, they were meant for the encouragement and strengthening and instruction of the people who heard them in that day. And since God inspired John to write these words in his gospel, God intends for them to be an encouragement to us in this day. And so let Jesus' words today encourage you. The fact that he is living and speaking, he is risen from the dead, let that encourage you today. These first words we hear from Jesus after his resurrection, they come shortly after Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John discover that Jesus' body is missing from the tomb. Verse 1 says that it was the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene came early, when it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. I wonder how shocking that must have been to see that. The other gospel writers tell us there were other women who came to the tomb also. It's likely that they came with Mary. But throughout this gospel, John's purpose has been to show us evidence of who Jesus is. And you know, because I've been telling you why he's been doing this, you know? He's been showing us who Jesus is so that we would believe. You could probably have said that with me this morning. So that we would believe. Throughout this gospel, he's showing us who Jesus is. John is likely here pointing to the eyewitness of Mary Magdalene because of what Jesus says to her. And then we have her testimony later in verse 18. She will see and believe. That's what John wants for us, of course, to see and hear Jesus and believe in him and be saved. But he also wants believers in Jesus to see and believe and keep believing every day. Keep looking to our Savior. Keep walking with him with our faith fixed on the fact that he is risen from the dead. God in human flesh came to die for sinners and conquered death and sin and hell and the grave. So first we see Mary and the disciples coming to the tomb. And we find something other than total faith in Christ. They would soon learn that Jesus had risen from the dead. But at first, they didn't even think of that as a possibility. They didn't even think of the fact that Jesus could be resurrected from the dead. When we see it now, we might think, well, why didn't they understand? And we have the Bible to hold in our hands and hide in our hearts, and the New Testament and these scriptures about Jesus, and sometimes we're puzzled why they didn't catch on quicker than they did. We can see it in how Mary Magdalene responds when she sees the stone had been taken from the tomb. Look at verse 2 again. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That would be John writing about himself, the one whom Jesus loved. It's not like John was the only one Jesus loved, but John is talking about himself here. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Somebody has taken Jesus' body, is what she's thinking. It's interesting to see here that Mary Magdalene wasn't even thinking about the possibility of a resurrection. She was thinking there must have been a grave robber. And these two disciples weren't any different, other than they had to see it for themselves. So they run to the tomb. And John, speaking of himself, he outruns Peter. And he got there first, but didn't go in. He just kind of ducks his head in to see where Jesus' body had been laid. He tells us in verse 5 that he saw the linen cloths lying there. And then Peter comes and blows past John and runs right into the tomb. And he saw upon entering the tomb what we find in verses 6 and 7. He saw the linen cloths lying there. And the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. This is not the work of grave robbers. This is not how grave robbers would have behaved. They would have stolen those expensive cloths that had been used by Joseph and Nicodemus to prepare Jesus' body for the tomb. They would have also not taken the time to fold up the face cloth. No, this along with the fact that the tomb is empty is more evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. While some may speak by way of an epitaph on their tomb, not Jesus. Jesus speaks in his absence from the tomb. He is not there. He is risen. Look at verse 8. Then the other disciple, this is John speaking of himself again, who had reached the tomb. But by the way, if we had written this, we would say, when I got there. When I got to the tomb, we'd point at ourselves. John's not doing that. He's trying again and again. John is trying to get the, he doesn't want you thinking about him and what he's saying. He wants you to think about what he's saying, but he wants you to think about the Savior. And he wants you to think about Jesus and who Jesus is. He wants you to believe in him. So constantly John is saying, the other disciple, the disciple Jesus loved. He's not using himself. We would have said, when I got there, I was there. You weren't. I was there. Right? Not John. Graciously pointing to Jesus. It's a reminder to us about how we ought to be living our lives. Not pointing to ourselves, pointing to our Savior with the way that we live. Oh Lord, help us to live that way. Thankful for this example from John, pointing to the Savior. The other disciple, he says, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. Note that he did say he got there first. And he saw and believed. That's actually the most important thing that we see here. He saw and believed. The idea here in the statement that John saw, if we can go back to the original languages, it means that he perceived intelligently. He looked, he saw what was true, he believed what he saw. John sees the empty tomb, and it says here, he saw it and he believed. Note that the next verse says, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise from the dead." They didn't understand that scripture yet. That's why we need to go easy on them. They didn't understand that yet. Maybe as we do, I trust you do understand that now. What did John believe if he did not yet have the full revelation and understanding of the scripture that proclaimed that Jesus would rise from the dead? Well, John saw the evidence. He saw the evidence. And he looked at the empty tomb, and he looked at the grave cloths lying there. And in the context of chapter 20, it seems that John believed that Jesus was alive. That's what he believed, that Jesus was alive. Later, he would believe in the resurrection of Jesus because of the scriptures. But right now, he's looking at the evidence, and he believes because of the physical evidence that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. There's an important order of belief seen here which points to the resurrection of Jesus. We'll see it later when others see the resurrected Jesus Christ. When they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they believed. When they saw him, they realized, hey, he is risen from the dead. There's no doubting this. That's Jesus. He lives. Later, they would believe the scriptures which foretold of the resurrection of Christ. But before they believed the scriptures, they believed the physical evidence. The order in which they believed is important because had they first believed in the prophetic scriptures, then they might have been accused of manufacturing a resurrection of Jesus from the dead, just to meet their own belief. But they didn't believe the scriptures first. They believed the evidence first. They believed the physical evidence, and all those who came to saving faith in Christ after that moment at the grave, and all who come to saving faith in Jesus now, believe in Christ because of their eyewitness, because they saw the grave was empty, because they realized Jesus was raised from the dead. They believed the physical evidence first, and they went out to tell others. Now, so we don't criticize Mary and the disciples for their failure to believe before being presented with the evidence. We should admit that we would have been just like them. Of course, our advantage today is not only the Word of God that we can hold in our hands, but we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have Jesus testifying to you that this is true in your heart. But even with the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers now, how often we are guilty, like the disciples, of not believing what Jesus tells us. How often we are like Mary and the disciples. Some of us have heard the teachings of Jesus many, many times for many years. We're familiar with the teaching of God's Word. We're familiar with the Old Testament. We're familiar with the New Testament. We could win all kinds of Bible quizzes. And yet, the way we live our lives sometimes says we don't really know God's Word. Or at least we don't believe it. We don't trust Him. Sometimes we're so familiar, we start to overlook the fact that God's promises are not just for those people He gave them to when they were still roaming the earth, when these books were being written, but they're for us now. This is God speaking to us now. His promises are true. They were true then. They were true before you were born. They're true today, and they'll still be true when you're gone. God's Word is true. Jesus wants us to look to His Word. He wants us to believe. We don't need to see the grave. There were others who saw the grave. They testify in God's Word about what they saw. And Jesus speaks to us from His Word, and He wants us to believe that He is risen from the dead because He is. And He wants us to keep believing every day, with how we live our lives, realizing that because Jesus lives, this is the most incredible news on planet Earth. in all the galaxies, in everything we can imagine. This is the greatest news ever, that Jesus lives. And if you have the best news ever, shouldn't you want to live your life in such a way that everything about you says, all for Jesus? All for Jesus. Mary and the disciples didn't believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. They got there, they didn't even think about resurrection. They come to the tomb looking, and when they didn't find him, they were convinced that his body had been stolen. Someone has stolen the body of Jesus. What shall we do? But John tells us that he, when he looked in and he saw the grave cloths lying there and that Jesus was not there, he saw and he believed. Now, as I said, Mary wasn't even thinking resurrection. It was clear in what she first did when she saw the empty tomb, running to tell Peter and John. It's also clear here in verses 10 and 11. Look at those verses again. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood. Does she think Jesus is alive? No. Why? Because she stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. Mary is alone, and she stands by the tomb weeping. She stoops down. She glimpses inside just to look again. To look again. He's really not there. She's grieving. It's interesting that Jesus chooses to visit Mary first. It's not that she's more special, so to speak, than any of the others. If it were up to us, we might have had Jesus appear to those who were following him the closest, those who were serving alongside him. But no, he chose Mary to first show himself to after his resurrection. And I really think that in that simple act of condescension, there's a powerful reminder to us about the love of Christ for you and me. Jesus condescends to love people like you and me. Jesus came to earth as a baby and lived a sinless life and yet died the death of a criminal, of a heinous criminal, one who was cruelly tortured and crucified. And yet, it was all part of God's plan. God hung his son on the cross. God put Jesus there. Through the hands of sinful men, yes, but God intended for Jesus to die on the cross for sinners. Jesus condescends to love the unlovable. That's you and me. The Bible says we're enemies. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're not friends of God before he saves us. We're the opposite. Jesus condescends to love sinners. So here's Mary weeping, glimpsing into the tomb. And what does she see? She sees two messengers of the Lord. Those messengers of the Lord in verse 12 are angels. She saw two angels in white. Don't think she realized they were angels. Doesn't say anything about the fact that she recognized them as angels, but John realizes and he writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that these were angels. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they have a question for her as she's grieving, she's weeping. Verse 13 tells us they ask her, "Why? Why are you weeping?" See, they know that Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. So why are you weeping? And she says, verse 13, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And then it may have been the angels looked behind her, like looked around her. You've done that, and you've seen people like, "What are you looking at?" And it's possible she did something like that. She turns and looks. And verse 14, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. We don't know why Mary didn't recognize Jesus. Maybe it was the tears in her eyes. Kind of hard to see clearly when there are tears in your eyes. Or it could be that Jesus looked very different from when she saw him last hanging on the cross, disfigured and tortured as he was. But it's very likely there's something different about Jesus now that he's risen from the dead, because there are others also who do not recognize him at first. Mary may have given a quick glance, but then in verse 15 we hear Jesus' words to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And her answer, again, it shows us she didn't recognize Jesus. She just wants to know where the body of Jesus is. She wants to know where they've taken him. Verse 15 goes on to say, "Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away.'" Where is he? Where's his body? She's not thinking resurrection. But then there's one word. One word, Jesus says. And how about this word? Mary. Mary? He says to her, and then the light dawns, and she realizes she's speaking to Jesus. Jesus says to her, "Mary," and she turns and says to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," teacher. How about that? You know what? If you're a believer in Jesus, there was a time when Jesus said your name and called you to himself. Apparently, she turned and grabbed him. There's nothing wrong with that, right? She wants to hug him. She grabs him. But Jesus says, wait. "Oh, don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father." Jesus has a precious message for her, and he wants her to take that message to others. And so he's like, "Hey, you know, don't cling to me right now. You won't always have me. You need to start living like you're not always going to have me. Take your hand." It's not like he's saying, "Take your hands off me," but he's saying, "No, don't cling to me." The idea here is that Jesus wants Mary to see that she'll not always have his physical presence, that he is not going to linger. He won't be there forever. She needs to start walking by faith. And there's a reminder for us now that we need to live by faith. We don't have Jesus physically in our presence, but I would argue we actually have something better, because believers in Jesus, we're told in the Scriptures, have the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, poured into their hearts, into their lives. We have the Spirit living in us if we're believing in Jesus, and that's our gift from God, along with our salvation and forgiveness of sins. We're given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live with us, to be in us forever, and we praise God for that. And so Jesus points to this fact that he is physically not going to be present always. It's like we heard Jesus tell the disciples back in John 14, verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live." And not only that, but even though Mary may see him, he's not risen from the dead to return to the same way of doing things. He's not risen from the dead to come back and do the same work that he had done before. And that's clear from the message he gives her to take to the disciples. By sending them this message, he's making it clear that, first of all, he has indeed risen from the dead. Just listen to that. Think about what we heard from John 14, 19. "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And do not cling to me," he says back in verse 17, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Go tell them that. Go deliver that message. Jesus lives. He's risen from the dead. "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In other words, because I've risen from the dead, you too will live. And it's still true today for all whose faith is in Jesus Christ. We have this eternal hope. It's also a present hope. And though we know our bodies are failing us and our bodies are falling apart, and if God doesn't rapture us home, but we die before that, we know we still live. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. We know, the Scriptures teach us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When we die, our soul goes to be with the Lord. We praise God that we will be with Him, and we will see Jesus face to face one day, and won't that be the day? That's the day I'm looking forward to the most. So Jesus speaks to Mary Magdalene. He sends a precious hope-filled promise, promise-filled message, promises to live by, promises to hope in, promises to have confidence in, that He lives, and all those who trust in Him will also live. In every age, people take this message to heart and put their faith in Jesus Christ, and as John 3 and verse 15 says, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Have you believed in Jesus? Have you trusted in Him? The Bible says it. You heard it. Anyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Put your faith and trust in Jesus if you have not already. And if your faith is in Jesus, live like He lives. Live like you have the greatest news ever to share with your life. Live your life for God's glory, all for Jesus. And maybe with these words from this wonderful and great old hymn, we live like this. The words of the hymn, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart.